O Lord, I have taken refuge in you. This is Guru Arjan's Bhajan, Thakur Tuma Sharanai Aya, on page 155. Since I have seen you, the doubts of my mind have vanished. Without saying, you knew my pain and problems. You made me meditate on your Nam. By singing your praise, my sorrows are ended, and I happily sing your qualities. Holding my hand, you have pulled me out of the deep pit of attachment and maya. Nanak says, the master has broken my fetters, and he has united this separated one with God. O Lord, I have taken refuge in you. Thakur Tuma Sharanai Aya, page 155. Thakur Tuma Sharanai Aya, Thakur Tuma Sharanai Aya, Uttaragya Mere Manika Sanisa Ji Manika Sanisa, Uttaragya Mere Manika Sanisa Ji Manika Sanisa, Jabatira Darshan Darshan Paya, Jabatira Darshan Darshan Paya, Takuritum Shardanaya, Takuritum Shardanaya, Anabolat Meri Birita Jani Ji Birita Jani, Anabolat Meri Birita Jani Ji Birita Jani, Apana Nama Nama Japaya, Apana Nama Nama Japaya, Takuritama Sharanaya, Takuritama Sharanaya, Dukanate Sukhi Sahaja Samai Ji Sahaja Samai, Dukanate Sukhi Sahaja Samai Ji Sahaja Samai, Anandananda Ananda Gunagaya, Anandananda Ananda Gunagaya, Takuritama Sharanaya, Takuritama Sharanaya, Bapa Karakadaline Janapane Jiline Janapane, Bapa Karakadaline Janapane Jiline Janapane, Grihanda Kupa Kupate Maya, Grihanda Kupa Kupate Maya, Takuritama Sharanaya, Takuritama Sharanaya, Kaho Nanak Guri Bandhan Kate Ji Bandhan Kate, Kaho Nanak Guri Bandhan Kate Ji Bandhan Kate, Bicharate Ana Ana Milaya, Bicharate Ana Ana Milaya, Takuritama Sharanaya, Takuritama Sharanaya. Nanak says, the master has broken my fetters, and he has united this separated one with God. O Lord, I have taken refuge in you. And before we begin, we would like to say a big thank you to all who came to the ashram yesterday to weed the flower gardens, and to clear the trees and brush which have grown up in the field behind the master's house. And a beautiful sign saying Sant Bani Ashram Cemetery was installed on granite posts at the entrance to the cemetery. And even with masks and physical distancing, it was wonderful to see everyone working in remembrance of the masters. And I'll mention that the field out behind the master's house, what we call the East Field, was actually turned into a field in order to make a place for Sanchi to walk. Before the ashram came here, it was a field, a farmer's field, and it was grown up into junipers and scrubby gray birch and pine trees and stuff. So we were restoring it to a clear and open field. When Sanchi came in 1977, I believe I have the story right, one of the things that he told Kent was that he needs a place to go for a vigorous walk, which there really wasn't much of any place to do that here at the ashram, except with everybody following around him. He wanted a private walk. So Kent used to take him down to the golf course a couple of miles away, and he would walk vigorously in the early morning at the golf course. Anyway, so we created that field for him, and he was very pleased with it. And so we can say genuinely that that was a place where the master walked. So we appreciate all the work that was done. And we'll begin our reading with, actually we'll finish a question and answer we began last week called Beyond Hell and Heaven. It was December 1984, and this was in Rajasthan. So we left off in the middle of a long answer to a question, but we'll pick up there. And Sanchi is saying, Supreme Father Kripal used to say that there is hope for everyone. A satsangi should never become hopeless. I have always said that meditation is the struggle, and you should continue struggling with your mind. Never listen to your mind. Never obey your mind. Always go on fighting with your mind. Whatever the master is telling you in the satsang, do that. Obey his commandments. You do according to his instructions. If you have love for the master, if you have faith in the master, always go on doing what your master is telling you. If you have love for the master and if you are listening to him and not to your mind, then you will definitely become successful in this struggle. Many people who try to continue the struggle with their mind become successful, and they come to me and tell me in their interview that they have got rid of lust or of anger and the other passions are also going away. And I tell them, one day all these passions will leave you, and you will see that the Shabd is ruling everywhere within you. And one last question in the darshan. Disciple says, I would just like to ask if Sanchi thinks that the things in Delhi are over. At this time, there was civil unrest, rioting and fighting. Sectarian fighting in Delhi when the group came there, and there was pretty serious concern about it. So he says, I would just like to ask if Sanchi thinks that things in Delhi are over. Has that debt been paid? And whether he thinks that we will always be able to come here, regardless of political conditions in this part of the world. And Sanchi says, well, you see, the thing is that saints never make prophecies. They never play the game of the astrologers. We should always remain happy in the will of God. Whatever is going to happen will happen, and we should always accept the will of God. Many people have seen Shanti Chopra, an initiate of Master Sawan Singh who used to live in the ashram. He became very sick towards his end. His stomach got inflated, became very big. He was about to leave the body, and it was his desire that I should come to see him before he left. When I was going to America, I had planned to leave Rajasthan the same day that we were going to fly out from Delhi. But because of Shanti, I went to Delhi a day earlier. And when I went to see him, at that time, he wanted to talk with me. But his children wanted to tell me how they could arrange a very good doctor and bring the medicines and things like that. He was not pleased with all that, and he told his children, I don't want to take any kind of medicine, because it is up to the master. It is up to Master Sawan. If the amount of meditation which I was supposed to do in this world has been done, then he will take me now. If he wants me to do more, then he will keep me here. Whether you bring the doctors or not will not make any difference. But the children did not believe in that. And they always tried to bring some medicines and things like that, which he was not pleased with. When I went to see him, he was very sick, and he told me about his desire. When I left for America, I gave the duty to Mr. Oberoi to see him every day until he left the body. Mr. Oberoi did go to see him every day, and on the final day when he was about to leave the body, since he was from the Sanatan Dharma, the Hindu religion, his wife said, since we are Sanatanis, let us take your body down off the bed. Because in the Hindu religion, they do not let the person leave the body while lying on the bed. And they also take the body out of the house. So he said, well, whatever you want, you can do. And his wife said, let me make some light for you so you can put your attention into the light. To which he said, it is up to you. You can do whatever you want. But I don't want all these things. I don't need all these things. And then he started singing the bhajan, Savanakarya Ranga Vicharazi. He sang the whole bhajan. And in the last line, where it says that Ajaib Dukiya Hoja Razi, he sang Shanti Dukiya Hoja Razi. And that was the moment when Master Sawan took his soul up. He removed the sickness of his soul, and he became his soul, healthy forever. So we should have faith in the Master. I am sure that Supreme Father Kripal will continue showering his grace. He's showering a lot of grace on us. And that finishes that darshan. And we're going to begin another question and answer darshan. This one, again, is at 16 PS. This is in March of 1984. This was published in the July 1984 Sanpani magazine. So a disciple asks, Sanchi, you told us in the past that sometimes the master keeps us from having inner experiences because our ego wouldn't be able to handle it. So it is postponed on and on. And also, you told us that we should look to our outer life to see why we're not progressing, because we're failing in some discipline. Is there any way to know which it is? And Sanchi, Supreme Father Kripal invented the diary for us only for this purpose, so that we may know where we stand and what good and bad karma we are doing. Do you think that you won't be aware of your good and bad karma, which you have done? Whatever good or bad karma we do, We always remain aware of it. It is not as though somebody else will come and do the good and bad karma for us, and we will get the benefit or pay the reaction of it. All the karmas, whether they are good or bad, which we have done, will bear fruit. Sufi Saint Farid has said, "The farmer is longing to have dates, but in fact, he is sowing chilies. How can he get wool if he has sown cotton?" I have often said that when we are doing any deed, we know what its reaction is going to be. When we are sowing anything, we know what it will grow into. Baba Bishandas used to say, "You are planting useless trees and you are expecting to have sugarcane." How is that possible? When we will do our meditation honestly and with good thoughts, then we will have no complaints like this, because then we will be able, we will be capable of seeing what our master is doing for us. Santmat does not keep us in deception. It does not keep us in blind faith. Those who want to see where they stand and want to see the progress of their meditation, they work hard to make their life pure, and they always keep their thoughts pure. And those who do their meditation wholeheartedly and honestly, keeping their life pure with pure thoughts, they can not only see their own progress, but they can also see how the master is pulling their soul up and how he is working even for other people. Often, I tell this story, and the question of that dear one who wanted me to tell a story will be answered now. There used to live one fakir whose name was Sutra. He was fearless, and he wrote many very meaningful, humorous poems and humorous stories. Once it so happened that he asked someone how to make a house strong. That person replied to him that if you put many pillars in the house, it can become strong. So he went on putting in pillars. He filled the whole house with pillars, so that there was no room for him to sit there. Suddenly, it started raining, and it was very cold outside. And since he did not have any place in the house, he was standing outside, shivering in the cold rain. One person came by and asked him, why was he standing outside? Why was he not in the house? And he replied, "If there were any room left inside the house, I would have put one more pillar there." So in this way, on one side we say, how do we know that Master is protecting our progress? How do we know that Master has all the progress of our meditation? How can we be convinced? But on the other side, we are not ready to give up lust. We do not want to give up anger, attachment, and all the bad things. We have all sorts of bad deeds and bad habits, which people have, and still we argue and complain. How can we be convinced that Master is protecting our meditations? So our condition is like that of the fakir who filled up his house with pillars and left no place for himself. The place where our master is, the place where our God is, we have filled up with lust and anger and all the bad habits of the world. We have all kinds of worldly desires and attachments, and we don't leave any place for him to come and reside. And still we ask, how do we know that Master is protecting our meditations? Unless we have some place within where we can go and see what the Master is doing, how can we know that he is protecting our meditations? Do you think that the Master who is within you and who is always watching over you does not care for you? He knows about your thoughts even before you think them. He knows every single action you do. He knows every single feeling, every single thought which you have. Even without your asking, he knows everything that you want. And since he cares for you, he wants you to leave your body and go back to the real home. That is why he always works for you. Sometimes when the disciple is doing bad karmas, the negative power makes him feel embarrassed. And he asks him, "This is the person to whom you gave initiation? Was he worthy of getting the initiation?" At that time, the master has to keep silent. But still, he says, "No, he is my dear son, and he is innocent. He does not know what he is doing. Gradually, he will understand his mistakes, and he will come back." He has enormously huge amounts of patience with him. That is why he always patiently waits for us to come back to the real path, because he knows that one day we definitely will come back. So that is why the master who is sitting within us cares for us and always protects our meditations, because he knows that when we have become free of our karmas, when we will give up doing the bad karmas, our soul will go up to the real home very soon. As a bullet is shot from a gun, in the same way, our soul will go up, riding on the Shabda, to our real home. Our bad deeds and karmas are the only things which keep our soul in the body. Otherwise, there's nothing which stops our soul from going back. We will leave off at that point. And this is a short personal remembrance. This is in the August 1993 Santbani, a talk given by Charlene Giroud, who apparently lived in the area near the Kripal Ashram in Surrey, BC. And she originally wrote this in the Satsang newsletter from Kripal Ashram, and it's reprinted here. So she tells her story. The year was 1963. The month was October. I was 12 years old, living with my family in Massachusetts. My oldest sister was going to a Catholic boarding school in Hudson, New Hampshire, which was about an hour's drive from Franklin. One Sunday, our whole family drove over to visit her. After leaving the rest of the family at the boarding school, my dad decided to go for a drive in the country, so I went along with him. Dad loved to ride up and down the winding dirt roads. And I'm sure all of you know that the ashram is located on a winding dirt road. So Dad loved to ride up and down the winding dirt roads, which were quite common in that part of the country, just to see what was at the end. Well, on this particular day, we had gone some distance down a road when my father slowed to a stop to let four or five cars coming down a steep dirt driveway to drive past us. While we watched, a man in the back seat of the first car leaned forward with his hands folded and bowed slightly to my father while staring at him quite penetratingly and very seriously. He had a white beard and a white turban and deep-set eyes. I was in the back seat and had seen him, but he hadn't yet looked at me. I zoomed over to the other side of the car, and with my face pressed against the glass window, I just hoped, for some reason, I don't understand why. I didn't understand why. With all my heart, I hoped that this man would look at me, too. Just when it seemed the moment had been lost, he leaned forward, and with folded hands, he looked at me, Exclamation point. Very sadly, I thought in my 12-year-old mind, why is he so sad? But then I felt a sense of relief. He had looked at me, and somehow this was very important. Well, Dad and I decided to go up this driveway and investigate. A turban and a white beard in New Hampshire? At the top of the drive was a wood frame house. There had been a sign saying, Sant Boni Farm. Well, being Catholic and my father being French, I thought maybe it was a farm for men studying to be priests and dedicated to the Catholic saint, Saint Boniface. It was French, Saint Boni. My father shrugged his shoulders and we drove back to the boarding school. We picked up the rest of the family and drove home. Over the years, I forgot about the incident, although the picture of that man with the long white beard always intrigued me. I left home at an early age, but I returned home for visits periodically over the course of the years. Meanwhile, my parents relocated to Eastern Canada. A few years before my dad passed away in 1986, he started mentioning this incident to me from time to time, but with some embarrassment. He was a strict Catholic. Around this time, he would occasionally complain to me of a ringing in his right ear. Since I had taken some nurse training and he was a dentist, we would try to figure out the cause. I don't know if he mentioned it to the other members of the family. Sometimes we would just be sitting together eating and this ringing would start in his ear, and he found it quite annoying. A few months before my father passed away, quite suddenly at home of a heart attack, we were sitting at the table and he asked me, bashfully, if I remembered that strange man in the white beard, referring to that fateful encounter in 1963. He told me that he was having dreams about that man, and they seemed so real. We both wondered who he had been. As he was telling me about the dreams, I could tell that he was disturbed, but somehow happy about them. Well, we just looked at each other and wondered what it was all about. After my father died, I dreamt about him 3 or 4 different times. In the last dream, he told me that he was doing great and that he was on his way to New Jerusalem. It was a phrase that he had never used while alive, and I was not familiar with it until a couple of months before my own initiation in 1989, when I found reference to it in Sant Kripal's book, Nam. In December 1988, 2 years after my father died, I was sleeping and I was awakened by a touch on my forehead. This happened a couple more times and led to a number of inner experiences, but they were without figure or form. Meanwhile, a satsangi was working where I was employed, and I felt quite drawn to her, as she seemed to evoke that same warm, loving quality that was akin to my nighttime experiences. Well, one thing led to another. She lent me a book on Sant Mat. I asked her for another. I bought 2 more of my own. At first, I was not at all interested in Santji. By then, I had remembered vividly the incident with Master Kripal, and I recognized his face from the pictures in the Sant Mat books that I was reading. And I realized that my father was safe. He was with Kripal. As I sat reading these books and looking at the pictures of Santji, I was drawn to those eyes. Although if anyone had told me even a few months earlier that I was going to have a master, I would have laughed. But Santji had his way, and he has his ways. I fell in love with him. A few trips to the ashram in Surrey, and a few satsangs, and a few weeks of his eyes, and I wanted initiation, which came that summer. And a final reading, we're going to continue in Master Kripal's discourse called Protector and Protection in The Night is a Jungle. And we'll begin. Master says, Guru Nanak has said, O Nanak, break off all connections with the imperfect and search for a perfect master. They will abandon you even while you live, but he will never leave you even after death. Maulana Rumi has also said that one should grasp the coattails of a man who knows the secrets of this world and the beyond. The protection of such a personage cannot be described, but the individuals who experience it hold the knowledge close in their hearts. His single thought is very powerful, for God is superconsciousness. He is a part of the Creator, a drop of the ocean of all light. Remember, with one thought, God created the world. From one, many came into creation. If we, the soul, become the mouthpiece of the oversoul, then how powerful we will be. Our soul, though it is the same as the oversoul, is surrounded by mind and senses and is enclosed in the carcass of the physical form. The masters come like motherly hens to foster the children, which is very necessary. For unless they sit at some master's feet and absorb his words, they cannot be reborn. Remember that. Though in the beginning it may be by mere words that the facts of life are conveyed. Of a new world more beautiful than this, namely, and Brahmand, Parbrahmand, and Satlok or Satchkhand. O soul, you are the dweller of that land. Why have you allowed yourself to be captivated here? On hearing the words of the masters, we slowly start thinking, and we want to know what else there is. When the master gives the soul a connection with the beyond, it hears it and responds. There is no way without the Shabda to leave this pot of clay. With Simran, or repetition, you can achieve single-minded, single-pointed concentration. And with concentrated attention, Dhyan, you will come to a standstill. But Shabda is the only power to take you up into the beyond. The master is that consciousness which has become the mouthpiece of the all consciousness, and his single penetrating glance can lift the consciousness not only of one, but of hundreds at one sitting, if necessary. To be connected to such a personage is the true Raksha Bandhan. Otherwise, it is merely a worldly custom. The Raksha Bandhan he refers to is the custom of young girls tying a string on their brother's hand as a token of their protection, their hope for protection. So Raksha Bandhan is a practice, a cultural practice, symbolizing protection. Master continues, what are a guru's responsibilities and what does he do? When one gives real thought to this, one's soul shivers to realize the extent of his protection. People do not understand that the guru's responsibilities are vast. They are overjoyed with the prospect of becoming masters themselves. Forgive me for saying this. Each one's desires to be a guru, a sadhu, or a sant. And spellbound with these thoughts, he forgets his duty towards himself and what he has to become in reality, thereby spending his precious time in leisure and wasting away whatever he has got. But the master, with each breath, goes on saving the disciples all the time. Whenever he initiates, he sows a seed for a new life. Like the seed enters the mother's womb and then develops. Howsoever God's words come, he brings them into outer knowledge. He is a perfect being, the mouthpiece of God, the conscious co-worker, who sees that it is God sitting within him doing everything. This kind of master sows the seed of attention and gives a way up into the beyond, which is a new experience. In India, some time ago, the masters who gave initiation into the beyond were termed Brahmins. They were the supreme caste. But today, only the caste remains, and initiation is but a mantra, mere words, that's all. The raksha, or protection, is a question mark. You are in the custody of a true master from the very day that he gives initiation. He becomes the very breath of the disciple. Baba Sawan Singh used to say that from the day the master gives the blessing of Nam, the guru becomes the indweller, along with the soul. From that very moment, he starts forming the child with love and protection, until ultimately he takes him into the lap of the Oversoul. Until that time, he does not leave him for 1 minute. This advancement may take 1 or 2 or 3 lifetimes. Masters have mentioned up to 4, but if we become receptive, it can happen in 1 lifetime. God is working in the master, and if you think of him in this way, then whatever you desire will be given. In physique, he looks the same as other men, but he is not man alone. He became a man to dispense the treasure of God to the souls. He is not in birth and death. The benefactor came for the souls to give them the treasure of devotion and join them back to God. Like a father gives the germinal seed of life, the guru bestows the life force, the incomparable gift. There are many gifts, many kinds of gifts, but the gift of Nam is above all others. And having given it, the master then develops it within you, because he wants you to reach the same stage as himself. He wants you to enjoy the bliss that he enjoys. The master goes on protecting and giving, whether the disciple knows it or not. For he is like a small child, which never realizes how much worry and trouble it is to its mother. The child may turn out to have a bad character and perhaps become a gambler, but the mother will continue to concern herself with his needs so that he may not starve, and so on. A child thinks that he knows his mother very well, but what child understands about a mother's love? We also think that we know our master, but we can know only as much as he wishes to reveal to us. We can see only as much as our eyes developed. To convince us of the truth, he will approach us in various ways, as a brother or a friend, and will sometimes appear to be inferior in knowledge or intellect. He acts in whatever way will help the disciple to gain confidence in his master. In this depth of humility, his greatness is revealed. Thus, this great personage gives rebirth to the soul and gradually makes us as great as he is. Truly, it is a profound blessing to have a living master who has come to give new life. You may ask, is all this the truth? But you can prove it through your own experiences. And in the many letters that I receive daily, there are numerous accounts of the master's protection. For example, a car was traveling along the road, and it overturned into a very steep slope. The disciples in the car remembered the master, and the car righted itself onto all four wheels again. Disciples who have faith in their master can go through many dangerous experiences and will be astonished how they are saved and protected. These things are daily occurrences. Become receptive and obey his orders implicitly, even though at times he may show anger and displeasure, for he has taken this task upon himself and has to make you into something. A sculptor will pick up a rock lying on the roadside and chisel it to make eyes and nose, etc., and finally it becomes a work of art, a valuable thing. The master will make the disciple into something priceless, and those who are receptive will progress quicker, regardless of how long they have been traveling along this path. What good would it be if the stone started fighting with the sculptor and saying, "I don't want a nose chiseled. I don't want my face like this." He has to make something of it, and he does so with great love. Sometimes, due to the fate karmas, many difficulties cross the student's path. And who is there to console and strength and give strength to bear them? A single word from a perfect master goes to the depth of the heart, so that it can stand upright and bear the burden. I remember when Pakistan was formed. You know the condition at that time. Whole families died. Friends were killed. Many people starved. Even rich people were destitute, hungry for a slice of bread. Naturally, they tried to console each other, but the misery and hurt was so deep that they were inconsolable. However, when they came to Hazur, he would say, "It's all right. Don't despair. God will give you more." And he would lift his hand in love and blessing. His words were like a soothing balm on their raw wounds. The truth is that there is great power in this attention. And when one is helpless and feels that there is no hope, one will get full protection and assistance by turning one's face toward the master. For example, if a child has to undergo some minor operation by the doctor, he will feel more assured and protected if his mother holds him in her lap, where her tender concern and love will help to take his attention from what is happening. There are many disciples who, while going through serious operations, have seen their master as the surgeon performing the operation. It is a question of love and faith in the guru. Some have seen the master standing near them with loving and concentrated gaze. They lost their fear and forgot the operation completely. These are not stories from invention, but true facts which have happened and are still happening. It is very necessary to have a living master. On this subject, Guru Ram Dass, the fourth guru of the Sikhs, says, "She who has given birth will look after the child with all her strength. He may be in the house or outside, but she is concerned for his every morsel. As the mother takes care of the baby selflessly with all her strength, in all his needs, even going without herself if necessary, so does the true guru take care of the disciple through all the tribulations of life. If the disciple's eye is open enough, he will see for himself how he is being protected. And even if he does not see, he will still receive the protection. If the child gets dirty, the mother does not spurn him, but washes him clean and lovingly embraces him to her breast. We are covered with the filth of ages of worldly living, and the guru, with all love and concern, teaches us how to refrain from soiling ourselves. Many times she will reprove, but always press you to her heart in love. So guard the invaluable gift from the Master with your very life, for it will remain with you in this world and the next. It is not a trivial thing to meet a guru, but with deep sorrow, I observe that many people do not have respect for their Master. A child can never forget his mother and all that she has done for him. If anyone does forget their mother's love, it is a great sin. To forget all the blessings the guru has bestowed is unforgivable. Kabir says, "This sigh will never leave my heart, that I can do nothing in return for all that the guru has done for me." Forgive me, but the task of the guru is not an easy one. To make something of the disciple, to put him on his feet, to give him new life, to reach him to his true home, this is the guru's work. Giving lectures or fine talks is not the guru's work. His talks are merely to help them be aware that are in deep forgetfulness. But the master's duty is a matter of custody. And we will leave off there for today. We have been listening to a question and answer session from March of 1989 in Rajasthan. This is in Group 7. Of that year.
ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਨੂੰ ਇਮਾਨਤ ਮਿਲੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਸਾਡਾ ਫਰਜ਼ ਬਣਦਾ ਉਹ ਪ੍ਰਭੂ ਦੀ ਇਮਾਨਤ ਨੂੰ ਸਾਂਭ ਕੇ ਰੱਖੀਏ ਉਹਦੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਕਰੀਏ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਬਣਾਉਣਾ ਪਹਿਲਾ ਫਰਜ਼ ਹੈ ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਦਾ
ਚਿਲਡਰਨ ਆਰ ਦ ਗਿਫਟ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਆਵਰ ਰਿਸਪੋਨਸਿਬਿਲਿਟੀ ਟੂ ਟੇਕ ਗੁੱਡ ਕੇਅਰ ਆਫ ਦੈਟ ਗਿਫਟ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਆਵਰ ਰਿਸਪੋਨਸਿਬਿਲਿਟੀ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਰਿਸਪੋਨਸਿਬਿਲਿਟੀ ਆਫ ਐਵਰੀ ਪੇਰੈਂਟ to make the life of the children.
Mara Savan Singh kehnde ve jaise maape waise bachche oko meri da zikr sunawe hunde se aap de naukri de duran da ohna de makan de jehde vich maharaj ji rehnde si thalle shabbi kubabi rehnda si da oh maharaj ji de bachiyan nu sada ye sikhaunda kyunki bachche ek dooji family na khelan aunde hunde hai ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਸਿਖਾਉਣਾ ਵੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਥੋੜ੍ਹੀ ਬਹੁਤੀ ਪੀ ਲਿਆ ਕਰੋ ਖਾ ਲਿਆ ਕਰੋ ਲੈ ਸਾਡੇ ਬੱਚੇ ਖਾਂਦੇ ਪੀਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਦੇ ਲੜਕੇ ਇਸ ਕੰਮ ਦੇ ਨੇੜੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਸੀ ਬਲਕਿ ਮੂੰਹ ਤੋਂ ਥੁੱਕਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਠੀਕ ਨਹੀਂ ਇੱਕ ਦਿਨ ਉਹ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਕਿ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਜੀ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਇੰਨੇ ਪੱਕੇ ਕੀਤਾ ਹੈ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਾਰਾ ਹੀ ਜ਼ੋਰ ਲਾ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਇਹ ਬਿਲਕੁਲ ਹੱਥ ਨਹੀਂ ਲਾਉਂਦੇ ਬਲਕਿ ਥੁੱਕਣ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਹੁਣ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸੋਚ ਕੇ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਸਾਡੇ ਉੱਥੇ ਦੇਖਦੇ ਉਹਦੀ ਲੜਕੀ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਸੀ ਉਹ ਬਦਚਲਣ ਹੋ ਗਈ ਲੜਕਾ ਬਦਚਲਣ ਹੋ ਗਿਆ ਫਿਰ ਉਹ ਰੋਂਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਸਿੱਖਿਆ ਨੂੰ ਹੁਣ ਸਮਝਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਮੇਰੀ ਕਿੱਡੀ ਗਲਤੀ ਸੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਦੇ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਦਾ ਜੀਵਨ ਖਰਾਬ ਕਰਤਾ ਸੋ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਨੇ ਜੈਸੇ ਮਾਪੇ ਵੈਸੇ ਬੱਚੇ ਜੈਸੀ ਮਾਪੇ ਹੋਣਗੇ ਵੈਸਾ ਹੀ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਤੇ ਅਸਰ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਚਿਲਡਰਨ ਬਿਕਮ ਐਸ ਦ ਪੇਰੈਂਟਸ ਆਰ ਹੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਟਾਕ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਹਿਸ ਨੇਬਰ ਵੈਨ ਹੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਲਿਵ ਇਨ ਦ ਪਲੇਸ ਕਾਲਡ ਮਰੀ ਹਿਲਸ He used to say that on the upper part of the house where he used to live, there used to live a drunkard. And he used to drink and eat meat and things like that. And because you know that the children always like to play together. So whenever Master Sawant Singh's children used to go and play with his children, he would sometimes try to tempt the children of Master Sawant Singh to drink wine or eat meat. And he would say that my children also do this. Why don't you also try this? But Master Sawant Singh's children would never come near the wine. They would never even touch the wine. And many times they would even spit, giving the feeling that they have eaten something or they have smelled something very bad because they were so much against drinking the wine and they could not even stand the smell of the wine. So even though he tried so many times, but still they would never touch the wine. They would not drink the wine. So once he went to Master Sawant Singh and said, well, I don't know that what kind of teaching you are giving to them, but they are very strong. And they are never even touching, and even though I tried so many times, and my children also drink the wine, but still, your children are so strong that they don't even like to touch the wine. So Master Sawant Singh Ji used to say, well, this is because I never touched the wine, and this is because of the teaching I am giving to him, and you should also do that to your children. But he did not understand that, and Master Sawant Singh Ji used to say that after some time I saw that his daughter left the home and she became a bad girl and his son also became a very bad boy. And then he repented and then he came to Master Sawant Singh and he said that now I understand what your teachings meant and now I realize that it was my mistake that I encouraged my children to drink wine and do all sorts of bad things. So that is why Master Sawant Singh used to say that the children also become exactly the same way as the parents are because it is from the parents that the children learn and eat everything.
ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪੂਰੇ ਪੰਜ ਤੱਤ ਹੈ ਬੁੱਧ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਹੈ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਸੈਂਸ ਇਹਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਰੱਖੀ ਹੈ ਬੁੱਧ ਰੱਖੀ ਹੈ ਚੰਗੇ ਮਾੜੇ ਦੀ ਇਹ ਪਰਖ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਦੀ ਉਦਾਹਰਨਾ ਅਸੀਂ ਪਸ਼ੂਆਂ ਤੋਂ ਜਿਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸੈਂਸ ਨਹੀਂ ਬਰਾਏ ਨਾਮ ਹੀ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਕਨੀ ਦੇਖਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਜਦ ਬੱਚਾ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਪਸ਼ੂ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਰੇਤਾ ਜੀਭ ਨਾਲ ਚੱਟ ਕੇ ਸਾਫ਼ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਾਲੇ ਲੱਗੇ ਹੋਏ ਸਾਫ਼ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਵਿਛੋੜਾ ਇੱਕ ਮਿੰਟ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਸਕਿੰਟ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹ ਚੱਲਦੇ ਗਏ ਮੈਂ ਬਿੱਲੀ ਦੇਖੀ ਇੱਕ ਉਹ ਆਪਦੇ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਆਪਦੀ ਜੀਭ ਨੂੰ ਥੁੱਕ ਲਾ ਕੇ ਆਪਦੀ ਜੀਭ ਦਾ ਥੁੱਕ ਪੈਰ ਨੂੰ ਲਾ ਕੇ ਉਹ ਬੱਚੇ ਦੇ ਮੂੰਹ ਤੇ ਫੇਰੇ ਉਹਦੀ ਧੂਣੀ ਤੇ ਫੇਰੇ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਸਾਫ਼ ਕਰੇ ਹੁਣ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸੋਚ ਕੇ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ ਕਿ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਪ੍ਰਤੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਮੇਵਾਰੀ ਪਸ਼ੂ ਵੀ ਨਿਭਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਸਾਡਾ ਕੋਈ ਫਰਜ਼ ਨਹੀਂ ਬਣਦਾ
Man is made up of complete 5 elements. And in addition to all those complete 5 elements, we have been given this intellect, this sense. And that is why we have this sense of responsibility. We have this sense of differentiating the good and bad things. But even the animals who do not have that much intellect and sense, still they feel so much responsible for their children. They have so much love and affection for the children that they will go to any extent to protect their children and to take care of their children. Once I saw that when I saw a cat who had just delivered some kittens and she was caressing and loving the child, the baby cat, in such a way, she was showing a lot of love and affection. So you see that even the animals have the sense of responsibility and they also do whatever is possible for them in taking care and protecting their children and whatever they can do for the children. So being the human beings, do we not even have that much responsibility and that much sense to protect our children from all the bad evils?
ਤੁਸੀਂ ਬਿੱਲੀ ਕਨੀ ਦੇਖ ਲਓ ਆਮ ਤੌਰ ਤੇ ਕੁਝ ਲੋਕ ਘਰਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਰੱਖਦੇ ਹਨ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮੈਂ ਜਿਹਨਾਂ ਬਿੱਲੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਬੱਚੇ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਅੱਛੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਬੜੀ ਸਿਖਲਾਈ ਕਰਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੀਵੇਂ ਤੋਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਆਪਣੀ ਮਾਰ ਨੂੰ ਪਕੜਨਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਪੂਰਾ ਡੈਮੋਸਟ੍ਰੇਸ਼ਨ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਦਿੰਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ ਜਦੋਂ ਬੱਚਾ ਆਪਣੇ ਪੈਰਾਂ ਤੇ ਖੜ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਬਿਲਕੁਲ ਹੁਣ ਮਜ਼ਬੂਤ ਹੋ ਗਿਆ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਆਪਣੀ ਰੋਜੀ ਰੋਟੀ ਖੁਦ ਕਮਾ ਕੇ ਖਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ, ਫਿਰ ਉਹਦਾ ਸਾਥ ਛੱਡਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਦਾ ਹੱਕ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹਦੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਬਣਾਉਣ, ਉਹਦੀ ਅੱਛੀ ਪੜ੍ਹਾਈ ਕਰਾਉਣ, ਉਹਨੂੰ ਜਾਣਕਾਰੀ ਦੇਣ ਕਿ ਨਸ਼ਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਬੇਟਾ ਬਹੁਤ ਨੁਕਸਾਨ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਬੁੱਧ ਕਾਇਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਹਿੰਦੀ ਗੀ, ਵਿਚਾਰ ਦਾ ਕਿੰਨਾ ਨੁਕਸਾਨ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਉਹ ਅਣਜਾਣ ਇਸ ਅਸੂਲ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ 'ਚ ਆਤਮਾ ਆਈ ਹੋਈ ਹੈ। ਸਾਡਾ ਸਭ ਫਰਜ਼ ਹੈ ਜਿੰਨੇ ਦਿਨ ਉਹ ਆਪਣੇ ਪਾਉਂ ਤੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਖੜਦਾ, ਆਪਣੀ ਅੱਛੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਬਣਾਉਂਦਾ ਗਾ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਚਿਰ ਮਾਂ ਬਾਪ ਦਾ ਫਰਜ਼ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਉਹ ਪੂਰਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ।
Often I have seen the animals growing. You people have the pets in your home, but I have seen the animals growing over here. And I have seen that how the cats take care of their babies and how they teach the babies all the things which they should know, like how they should jump, how they should catch hold of the prey, and how they should eat the food and things like that. And I have seen that the cats are always protecting and they're always teaching their children until the children become strong and they stand on their own feet. They do not leave the children unless until the time the children are able to feed themselves and take care of themselves. So as a human being, do we not have that much responsibility of protecting our children and teaching them until they stand on their own feet? Because the children are the innocent souls and they have come in this world, in this physical world. They do not know anything of this world. And because we have gone through all this experience, do we not have the responsibility of telling them about our experience? Should we not tell them about the use of the drugs? Should we not tell them that it is not good for us to use the drugs because it does not keep us in our senses and it spoils our mind, brain and intellect? Should we not tell them about all the good things which they should be doing? We have responsibilities towards them because we have to make their life. So that is why we should teach them, we should protect them from all the evils of this world, and we should teach them every single thing unless they become self-sufficient, and unless they are able to stand on their own feet, it becomes our responsibility to take care of them.
ਮੈਨੂੰ ਬਹੁਤ ਸਾਰੇ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀ ਆਪਦੀ ਜੀਵਨ ਕਥਾ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੇ ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਪ੍ਰਸ਼ਾਂਤ ਸਨ। ਉਹ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਕਿ ਸਾਡੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਤੇ ਕਿੰਨਾ ਬੁਰਾ ਅਸਰ ਪਿਆ, ਔਰ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੇ ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਕਰਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਅੱਛਾ ਜੀਵਨ ਬਿਤਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਜੀਵਨ ਵੀ ਸੁਣਦਾ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਵੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਤੋਂ ਹੀ ਸ਼ਾਕਾਹਾਰੀ ਸੀਗੇ, ਸਾਡੇ ਮਾਤਾ ਪਿਤਾ ਭਜਨ ਭਾਵ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ, ਸਾਡੇ ਤੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਬੜਾ ਹੀ ਅਸਰ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ। ਸੋ ਸਾਡਾ ਫਰਜ਼ ਬਣਦਾ ਹੈ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਇੱਕ ਉਦਾਹਰਨ ਬਣ ਕੇ, ਅੱਛੀ ਉਦਾਹਰਨ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਪੇਸ਼ ਆਉਣਾ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ।
Many dear ones tell me about their life, the dear ones whose parents had a very confused and perturbed life, like the parents who were not together, and it had a very bad effect on the children, on the growth of the children. And they tell me that how their life was affected because of the difficulties the parents were having together. And only because of that, their mental setup has been set like that. And also I meet the dear ones, those who have had a very good family life because their parents were very good. And they tell me that how they were encouraged right from their childhood to remain vegetarian, and how their parents used to have a good family life. They used to do the devotion of God, and that has had a very good effect on them. And only because of that, they also have been able to make a very good life of their own. So you see that this is what happens if we have a good family life, if we do our meditation, then it definitely has a very good effect on the life of the children. They are also able to make their life very good. So it becomes our responsibility to set an example for the children. We should set a good example for the children because it is in our hands to make their life.
Our closing bhajan is on page 221, Sanchi's bhajan, Buli Nagurada Upakar. Don't forget the favors of the Guru. He protects you. O mind, tell your soul to meditate on Nam, sometime at least. Don't entangle your heart in the false impurities. Don't forget the true God in your heart. O mind, clean your heart so that the Lord may come and reside. With the support of Nam, you were nourished in the womb of the mother. Since you were connected with Nam, you did not dissolve at all. Dear one, in the court of the Lord, the true Nam will protect you. This ocean of the world seems to be without a bottom. One won't find a way without the ferry of the Master. Stay in satsang, because there you hear the truth night and day. Guru Kripal, please save Ajaib. Give understanding to your servant and attach him to your feet. Let the Naam of the Guru reside in my heart, for it cuts the noose of births. Don't forget the favors of the Guru. He protects you. O mind, tell your soul to meditate on Naam sometime at least. Buli Nagurada Upakar, page 221.
Buli na gurande upakare sajana veteri rake akare akade mana vetere dilanu kadita nam japte akare kadita nam japte akare jutia vikare vich dilanu pasayana Yad sach rab di tu dil to bulaina Juti avikar vich dil nu fasahina Yad sach rab di tu dil to bulaina Karale manawe saf dil nu prabhu ji ake vase akare Akade manawe tere dilanu kadita nam jape akare. Kadita nam jape akare. Bulinangurande upakare sajanawe teri rake akare. Akade manawe tere dilanu kadita nam jape akare. Kadita nam jape akare. Nam de sahare vich pet de sipalia. Liva lagi nam di jaravina tu galea. Nam de sahare vich pet de sipalia. Liva lagi nam di jaravina tu galea. Darega de vich sach nam saje vetere rakke akare. Akade mana vetere dilanu kadita nam jape akare. Kadita nam jape akare. Bulinangurande upakare sajana veteri rakke akare. Akade mana vetere dilanu kadita nam jape akare. Kadita nam jape akare. Jagat samundara hedisata yata hove. Guru beri bina ko ilavana narawe. Jagat samundara hedisata yata hove. Guru beri bina ko ilavana narawe. Karasat sangata sachai dinarata tenu dase akare. Akade manawe tere dilanu kadita nam jape akare. Kadita nam jape akare. Bulinangurande upakare sajana veteri rakke akare. Akade manawe tere dilanu kadita nam jape akare. Kadita nam jape akare. Guru kirpala ji ajaibanu buchalavo. Sevakanu mata deke charana chalalavo. Guru kirpala ji ajaibanu buchalavo. Deva kanu mata de ke charana chalalavo. Guru da bachana kata pansia dilande vicha vaseya kare. Akadema na vetere dilanu kadita nama japeya kare. Kadita nama japeya kare. Bulinangurande upakare sajana veteri rakeya kare. Akadema na vetere dilanu kadita nama japeya kare. Kadita nama japeya kare.
This ocean of the world seems to be without a bottom. One won't find a way without the ferry of the master. Stay in the satsang, because there you hear the truth day and night. Don't forget the favors of the guru. He protects you. O mind, tell your soul to meditate on Nam sometime at least. May God bless us all.